So Pasuk Yates, sorry for the delay, but Pasuk Yates is Elisha's response, at least to the last two requests. That the last two requests were Naaman asking for the Adama, asking for the earth, for Mizbeach, and also saying that he wants to be forgiven in advance for the fact that he has to escort the king to the base of Avodah Zarah. Vayomer lo lech l'shalom. And Elisha's response back was, go in peace. Go for peace. Meaning, and the Gemara understands that to mean, I agree with what you asked. You asked for the Adama, you could take the Adama. You asked for this kind of forgiveness in advance. So however that works, he gave his allowance. Vayelch mi'ito, and he went from him, meaning Naaman traveled further, going back towards Aram. Kivras Aretz. Kivras Aretz, so the translation says a short distance. Rashi explains that Kivras Aretz, it's a certain measurement of land. And the Mitzudas Tzion says it's a mil. A mil is 2,000, about 2,000 amos is a mil. And so it was a some type of a distance, 2,000 amos, somewhere between 3,000 and 4,000 feet, what we would call in our language about a half a mile. Why that's significant is for the next pasuk. And in terms of the story, in terms of the initial story of Naaman, the story of Naaman basically comes to a close. We're going to still deal with Naaman, but in terms of Naaman's tzaras, that has ended. And that's why this is the Haftorah for Parshas Tazria, as we discussed last time. So that actually ends right here by Pasuk Yates. Kind of an addendum to the story, and it's almost like if you would have to categorize the first part of the Perek until now, it would be about the character transformation in the positive sense of Naaman. That Naaman went from this extremely haughty individual, and he ends up the most humble of the humble, ready to do anything almost for Elisha, for Hashem, for what's proper. Pasuk Chaf. Vayomer Gehazi. Gehazi said. Who was Gehazi? Nar Elisha Ish Elokim. He was the attendant of Elisha, who was the man of God. Hinei. So this is what Gehazi is saying. Hine, behold, chasach Adoni es Naaman ha'arami hazeh. Behold, my master has spared, has had pity on Naaman the Arami, mikachas miyado eitz asher hevi, from taking anything that he had brought with him. What a waste. Chai Hashem, as Hashem lives, which is again, as we mentioned, a language of Shvua, ki imratzti acharav, I am going to run after him, v'lakachti me'ito me'uma, and I will take from him something. It's just chaval. How could it be that Elisha was offered, you know, whatever it is, $100,000, He said, no, you got to get something out of it, so I'm going to go, I'm going to get something. This is this Gehazi, yeah, he's unfortunately, since we met him, it's only been going downhill for our appreciation of him. And now we're understanding why he finally gets listed upon those who didn't have a portion in the world to come. And so he says, I'm going to go, and I'm going to take something. Rashi makes the following observation, which is hard for us to make. Rashi says on the last phrase, look at its spelling, V'lakachti me'ito me'uma. I'm going to take something. The word me'uma means something. So Rashi says, and this apparently was in his version of his Navi, it was missing the word, the letter Aleph. The word was still pronounced Ma'uma, but it didn't have an Aleph. Why? What is the word Ma'uma without an Aleph? A Mum. What's a Mum? a blemish. That this taking was going to be a blemish. That you know, before this episode, before this aspect of Gehazi, and we're going to see that unfortunately he's successful in actually taking from Naaman, and then we're going to see Elisha's reaction to him. So it shouldn't have happened. This was a great story, a story of a foreign dignitary coming to Eretz Yisrael and recognizing that there's a Hashem Echad, Ushmo Echad. And so the fact that he's going to ruin a little bit of it, it's a blemish. Some other commentators point out that in the majority of our texts and the different version of the texts, so this Aleph, the Aleph was always there. So apparently Rashi's text was missing an Aleph. So we take his comment, understanding that that's how his text looked, even though our text does not look that way. We do have the letter Aleph. Pasach Chaf Aleph. Vayirdov Gehazi acharei Naaman. So Gehazi chased after Naaman. Vayira Naaman rats acharav, and Naaman sees that he's running after him. Vayipol me'al hamerkava lekraso. So he comes off of his chariot to greet him. Vayomer, and Naaman says, Hashalom, everything okay? Rabbi Israel points out, take a look at the verb that's used to describe what Gehazi is doing and what Naaman sees. The word radaf is the same shorish as the word rodef. The word rodef, to chase, does not have a positive connotation. A rodef is what? A rodef is a murderer. Someone who's coming after you to kill you is called a rodef. That's why there's a halacha. The halacha is that if there's a rodef coming to kill you, you are allowed to act in self-defense and kill the rodef before the rodef kills you. And so The word radath has this connotation of evil, and that's Gehazi, and that's juxtaposed right away with how Naaman perceives the situation. Naaman perceives the situation that Yira Naaman ruts. He sees it as just ruts. Ruts is just running. That's a more of a pariv, more of a just a regular phrase. Running. If you were running, you would say the word ruts, and so Gehazi had these like evil intentions, and Naaman is the one who's positive. Remember Naaman, who wouldn't go and knock on Elisha's door, was waiting for Elisha to come to him? That same Naaman, Vayipo me'ala merkava, he sees Elisha's attendant, he gets off of his chariot. How are you? What, everything okay? I was just with everybody. We parted ways. You're coming so soon? Pasachav beis. Vayomer, shalom. So Gehazi answered back, all is well. Adoni shalachani lemor. My master, Elisha, sent me saying as follows. And we know this to be a lie. Elisha didn't send him. And as far as Gehazi knows, at this point, Elisha doesn't know what Gehazi is up to. Hine ata zebo elai shnei na'arim mehar Ephraim ibnei Anevim. The message is that two lads, two young men who are coming from the Har Ephraim, who are from the students of the Nevi'im, they've kind of arrived. And the understanding is that I need provisions for them. Tana lahem kikar kesef, give please for their behalf a talent of silver, ushnei chalivos begadim, and two changes of clothing. So according to some of Farshim, Naaman's overjoyed. Because all Naaman wanted to do was give something back to Elisha. And here it is, he finally has his opportunity. So Pasach Chaf Gimel comes around, and the Pasach Chaf Gimel says, Vayomer Naaman, Ho'el kach ki karim. The language of Ho'el, many of the translators here say it means like a language of please. Ho'el kach ki karim. Take two talents of silver. Take two portions of silver. Vayifrutzbo. And he prevailed upon him By Yotzar Kikrayim Kesef. So he went ahead and he wrapped up the 2 talents of silver, B'shnei Charitim, into 2 pouches, U'shtei Chalifos Begadim, and 2 changes of clothing. Vayiten al Shnei Na'ara Vayisu Lefanav, he gave him to his 2 attendants, and they carried it before him. The other approach that Mefarshim take is that Naaman was quite suspicious. Why was Naaman suspicious? Because he just had quite the intimate interaction with Elisha, where Elisha time and time again said, I'm not taking anything from you. Now, Elisha is not someone who Elisha is a man of God. He doesn't change his mind on a coin. He doesn't change his mind just like that. There must be something fishy here. So the language of Ho'el is like a language of Allah. Allah is a type of Shvua. And so Naaman enlisted Gehazi in a Shvua. I want you to swear to me that it was actually your master Elisha who went ahead and sent these instructions. And Naaman went ahead and he took that oath. And when the end of the pasuk says that he gave it to his two servants, Rashi says it was servants of Naaman's. Then Naaman didn't trust Gehazi. And he wanted that he told his servants, okay, you can take it back to Elisha, but you're going to be the ones carrying it. I'm not giving it into the hands of Gehazi. So according to those approaches, that the Naaman really understood the essence of who Elisha was and that he didn't want any of these things. Pasuk Chaf Dalet. Vayavo el ha'ofel. When they came to some type of secluded place, some type of, perhaps it's a, Matudas David says it's a type of tower, some type of place off the road. Vayikach miyadam, he took the package from their hands. Vayifkod babayis, and he hid it inside a house. Vayishlach anashim vayelchu, he sent off these men and they went. So according to the approach that it was Naaman's servants, he kind of convinced them, you know, it's okay, you've walked me so far. He convinced them it's okay. And if it was his own men, so now he was done with it. He didn't need any other people around, and now he could send them on his way.
Naaman never knew for sure that this was a hoax.
Correct. It's apparently, the question being, or the suggestion is that Naaman never finds out. Presumably not. Presumably he doesn't find out. We're going to see that some of the Mefarshim talk about the fact that when we see Gehazi's reaction to Elisha, kind of knowing prophetically that this happened, so Naaman would have had the opportunity maybe to rectify the situation. But Naaman didn't handle it well, as we'll see in just a moment. Vayifkod Babayis, when he says that he hid it in the house, some people say he instructed the members of his house to take the money and actually start buying things with the money. Maybe to hide the money in different types of assets. Pasuk Hafei. V'hu ba v'yamor el Adonav. So this Gehazi came, and he was standing in front of his master, meaning Elisha. V'yomer av Elisha. Elisha said to him, Me'ayin Gehazi. Where are you, Gehazi? Where were you? V'yomer. And Gehazi at that point had a chance to do the right thing, which would be to admit your mistake. Lo halach avdecha ana va'ana. I didn't go anywhere. What are you talking about? I didn't go here. I didn't go there. Denied. Pasach avav. Vayomer elav. So Elisha answers back to him. Lo libi halach? Did my heart not go with you? Did I not know with my heart, with my ability of prophecy from Hashem? Kasher hafach Ishmael merkav to l'krasecha, when a man got off his chariot to meet you, meaning when Naaman got off his chariot, ha'es l'kaches hasakesef, is this really the time to be taking money? V'l'kaches begadim, and to be taking clothing? V'zeisim uchramim, and olives and grapes? V'tzonu vakar, and sheep and cattle? V'avadim ushvachos, and servants and maidservants. This is where the Mefarshim say that's when it said that he bought other things. He already bought things with the money. And now Elisha's accusing him, saying, is this really the time to be taking all of this? And at that point, he's being, you know, through the use of prophecy, but Gehazi is being caught red-handed. Pasach of Zion, Vitzaras Naaman Tidbak Becha, says Elisha to Gehazi, that the tzaras of Naaman should cleave to you, uvizaracha, and to your children, la'olam, forever, vayetze milafonav mitzoyra kashalig. And he went from before him, being a mitzora, like snow. And the punishment is extremely, extremely severe. The Gehazi did wrong, and Gehazi should have admitted to his mistake. And when, you know, it's kind of reminiscent of when you know, obviously we're talking about a Navi, Lahavdil, in Parashas Bereishis, when we talk about Hashem. So Hashem comes to, first he comes to Adam and he says, Ayeka, where are you? You know, Hashem knows exactly where he is. He's asking him questions about what, and Adam had an opportunity to say, I messed up, and he didn't. And he comes to Cain and he says, Where's your brother? And Cain says, well, am I my brother's keeper? You have an opportunity to admit. When you admit to sin, it's a totally different ballgame. It's not, you have individuals, Yehuda admits to sin. David HaMelech, we saw it together. When Nasan HaNavi comes, David responds with one word, Chatasi, I sinned. Then it's a whole, it doesn't make what you did well. It doesn't mean there isn't going to be punishment, but it clearly mitigates things. The punishment of having tzaras against himself makes sense. What's with against his children? So Mefarshim explained that it doesn't mean the children forever. It means he had children who were alive with him and they were there. And they knew what their father was doing and they didn't do anything to stop it. That they were kind of complicit in this specific offense, and therefore they were also punished. At the same time that there's a punishment, the Gemara itself in Masechta Sanhedrin is rather critical of Elisha's response. That Elisha responded with too severely. It shouldn't have been something that can't be cured. It shouldn't have been something that's forever. This tzaras is never going to go away. And the Gemara says that the proper way to rebuke is the following phrase, which perhaps you're familiar with. Smol doche v'yamin mekarif. The left hand should push away, but at the same time, the right hand should be bringing close. That if you're trying to rebuke someone and punish someone, it should be, right? So often, why are so many criminals repeat offenders? They probably have issues, obviously, but it also means that our system, perhaps, of rehabilitating, that there's something wrong with the system of rehabilitating. So you kind of need to go back. That's why one of the beautiful, right, the first mitzvah in Parashas Mishpatim is the mitzvah of Eved Ivri. Why would that be the first mitzvah? After you finish the Ten Commandments, why would basically the first mitzvah be Eved Ivri, the Jewish slave? That doesn't really sound so spiritual. So a lot of the Mefarshim talk about the fact that Eved Ivri is basically a proper, you have a guy who stole money and can't afford to pay it back. So we have a choice. We could throw him in a jail cell while he'll be with other scoundrels, or we could take him, put him into a happy, healthy Jewish family with great values, where he's going to spend the next, let's say, 6 years. What is he going to learn? He's going to learn responsibility. He's going to learn what it means to be a father. He's going to learn what it means to be a husband. He's going to learn what it means to be a good Jew. So now, at the end of 6 years, hopefully, the hope is that he goes out. That's why we don't like him. We don't like it when he says he wants to stay. We want him to go out. What does it mean we want him to go out? We want him to go out and lead a good life. We rehabilitate. So Parshas Mishpatim starts with how we rehabilitate the lowest of our society, the ones who steal and don't even have money to pay back. So that the punishment is severe, and that there was no way to come back from this, and that we're going to see, and we'll get to this a little later on. Elisha was stricken with three illnesses in his lifetime. And one of the illnesses was because of this act. This act of punishing Gehazi so severely is judged, Elisha should have been a little more lenient, or a little more, at least some type of, oh, you have tzaras, but you can, you know, you'll have tzaras for a year. At least that there's some type of end. So this is not the last time we're going to interact with Gehazi. I believe in Parak Zion, we're going to see him again. But again, it's almost like the contrast. The first part was about kind of the transformation of Naaman in the positive sense, and unfortunately the second, last part of the perek is the transformation of Gehazi in the exact opposite sense, of becoming more evil, more, you know, losing proper values, more losing perspective. Now, instead of just taking things that really aren't should be his, he's lying about it. He's speaking for Elisha when Elisha never told him. He's taking oaths in the wrong places. All of these things put together the package from that unfortunate resume, which puts him on the path of becoming who he became.